Romans 5, starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. And then our text this afternoon. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And that's the end of our text, but we'll carry on. Verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So far God's word. As always, I'd encourage you to keep his word open as we work our way through this passage. But let's bring this passage before him in prayer. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come to one of the great passages of Scripture this evening, one of the great gospel truths, a reminder of our justification. Lord, as we explore the topic of justification through this passage tonight, may it give us security. May it give us assurance. May it remind us who we are, and may it give us perspective of the world that we are currently living in. Show us Jesus Christ this afternoon, we pray. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's been quite a few scenes played out across the media over this past week. Protests, arrests, government declarations, vaccine debates, mandate debates. Emotions are running very high. And it's clear that none of us are immune to what is going on. I don't know about you, but this week I've gone through a number of emotions: angry, sad, exasperated. There is such a thing known as COVID fatigue. How about you? How are you doing? How are you finding, personally, the COVID-related struggle? Have you had enough? Is it a struggle? I see a few nods along the way. How do we deal with this? How do we continue to get on with life? How do we have perspective in a world that, quite frankly, at times seems to be running around like a headless chicken? What perspective do we need? Well, as we were reminded this morning, and we're going to be reminded this afternoon, in these times, we need a perspective of eternity. Our hope is not on this earth. We need to look to our hope in heaven. And this afternoon, we are encouraged again in that hope as we look at the Bible's teaching, or one area of the Bible's teaching, on the subject of justification. As we continue our journey slowly through the Westminster Confession of Faith, and that brings us this evening to verses 8 through 11 of Romans chapter 5. And this evening we're going to see that because God justifies sinners, we can be assured of our eternal security. Because God justifies sinners, we can be assured of our eternal security. Our first point of three this evening is justified as sinners. Justified as sinners. How many people have come across the idea on the internet of the Give a Little page, or Give a Little pages? Yeah, we've given once or twice to a number of causes. There, it's a great system that's set up. You can donate money. You go to a website. There's an explanation about what the person is struggling with or suffering from. And there's an opportunity to leave a note and also donate some money to help people out. To those who have faced a tragedy, who are facing a major illness or having a difficult time. But imagine you came across a Give a Little page that looked something like this. Help wanted. I was running away from the police as I had been caught in an armed robbery. In doing so, I jumped over a fence and I broke my leg. I need a bit of cash to help me get along in life. I'm not able to spend as much money as I'd like on cigarettes and alcohol because I'm spending all this money on my legal defense. I don't think many of us would be chomping at the bit to donate to a cause such as that, would we? But that's the idea that we have here in our passage. Our passage describes who we are as sinners before God. In verse 6, we're described as weak. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Talks about, and like that Give a Little page, dying for a righteous person or a good person, we would give to such causes as that. By implication, we as sinners are unrighteous, not good. We are sinners, verse 8 tells us. And that's vital for us to appreciate as we look at this text. God didn't choose us because we're worthy, because he thought we were a good cause. In ourselves. He chose us while we weren't worth choosing, because of no worth in ourselves. Here we see God's love. It's easy to love the lovely, isn't it? It's easy to show love to those who we think are worthy of our love. But God loved us while we were unworthy. While we were sinners, while we were God haters, rebels, rejecting God. And he loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. In so many ways, this was initially a one-sided love, a love that came from God to us. 1 John 4, verse 10. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And this love of God, his one-sided love to us, gives us assurance, brothers and sisters. Great assurance as we walk our lives, our Christian walk. Sometimes people can be hard to please. I once had a boss that I could not please no matter what I tried to do. She took me to task on everything, and one day she hauled me into her office and told me off for something that I had meant well but came off in the wrong way. I couldn't please her. I couldn't earn her favor. Nothing I could do. Eventually, I moved on from that position, but while I was in that position, it was stressful. You never knew what kind of mood your boss was in. I never knew if today was a good day or a bad day. What was going to come next? But we never have to worry about that, brothers and sisters, with God. We never have to walk around God on eggshells, worried that we're out of favor, that this time we've really done it. God doesn't like us anymore. God doesn't love us anymore. We don't have to worry about that if we are saved by Jesus Christ. God's love for us isn't conditional on our performance, and thank God for that. God loved us at our worst. God hates sinners and rebels. And when we fall into sin, it cannot change his love for us. Because God's love for us is perfect love. He can't love us anymore because his love is perfect. And that also means that he can't love us any less because his love is perfect. God chose us. God justified us through Jesus Christ while we were sinners. And that gives us hope and security in this life. And Paul goes on to explain why, and we see that in our second point. Justified by Christ's blood. Justified by Christ's blood. Now, Paul uses here in verses 9 and 10, and it's written there on the sheet for you if you have the sheet, an a fortiori argument. I'll say that again. An a fortiori argument. You say, what is that? What does that mean? Well, it's an argument based on one fact being true, then the fact that follows it must also be more true. I've lost some of you already, I'm sure. But let me give you some examples as to what this type of argument is. Say at school, you get a grade of a C+. And you go to the teacher and argue the point you think it was worthy of a B+. And the teacher says there is no way you are going to get a B+ for this assignment. It stays at C+. Well, because of that fact, you can be really sure that you have absolutely no chance of going to the teacher again and saying, well, B+ you're not going to give me a B+. What about an A+? I mean, it's going to be even less possible, isn't it? More sure that you're not going to get any increase in your grade. Well, that's another example. I received a present in the mail a couple of weeks ago, a present from the New Zealand Police. Turns out on a Saturday a few weeks ago on Great North Road, I missed a sign. And so I got a bill for $80 for going between 11 and 15 kilometres over the speed limit. Now I looked it up, and I could be sure that if I did that again and sped even more, the fine would be even more. 16 to 20 k's per hour is $120 more. $120, I should say, instead of 80. Another $40 more. Not that I'm planning to test out that hypothesis, that truth. But you see the idea. One fact is true, then the next fact must be even more true. And that's the argument that Paul gives here. Paul uses it twice in verses 9 through 11. In verse 9, he says this. But God showed us his love. Verse 9, a little bit down. Since therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. First fact, we have been justified by his blood. The more certain fact is that we have been saved by him from the wrath of God. Our justification makes our salvation, being saved by God from his anger, even more certain. But before we unpack that even more, let's make sure that we understand. I've used the term justified a fair bit already in this message. What does it actually mean? And I have here a question for those in our catechism class, because we dealt exactly with this question on Tuesday. What was the simple explanation that we gave? I would say boys and girls, but the boy isn't here for catechism. Girls, what was the simple explanation? And the rites my girls get a pass because they were unwell. But what was the simple simple definition for justification? It was, Morgan. Just as if I had never sinned. Because of Christ's blood, we are seen by God just as if we had never sinned. That's how God sees us. And that was a simple explanation. A slightly more involved explanation that develops it a bit more is the idea of a courtroom. This is a legal term. You are the defendant in a trial, and you're before the judge, and you're waiting for the verdict of the judge. The judge bangs down his hammer. And for those of us who are saved in Christ, what do you think, boys and girls, is going to be the verdict? Put up your hand if you think that the verdict is going to be guilty. Put up your hand if you think the verdict is going to be not guilty. That's right, the verdict is not guilty. That is the verdict, the legal verdict that we have before God the judge. Because of Jesus Christ, we are seen as not guilty. That happened because of Jesus Christ, through his blood shed for us. He paid the price through us, for us. Here we see a fulfillment again of all of the Old Testament sacrifices, what they were pointing to. Christ paid the price that we should pay. It's like going to a restaurant, ordering a meal, enjoying the meal, and going to pay for this meal, and you find out nothing to pay. The couple, that lovely couple that was sitting at the table beside you, paid the tab for you. You were due to pay the price for the meal, but it was paid for you. That's the picture. Christ's blood paid the price for us. And Paul uses that to say, because we are justified, because we are legally declared not guilty in front of God, because that is true, because that is certain, we can be so much more certain that God is no longer angry with us. That's true here and now, but also looking forward into eternity. We will not face the wrath of God. We can be sure of that because we can be sure that Christ's blood was shed for us. Justified by Christ's blood. Paul uses this argument, this a fortiori argument, in a second way this afternoon. And that's our third and final point as we come to assurance for eternity. That's our final point, assured for eternity. And before we look at the argument as a whole, Paul uses the word reconciliation here a couple of times. He says in verse 10, "We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Now that we are reconciled, we'll be saved by his life. We have now received," verse 11, "reconciliation." It's good for us to understand who is reconciled to who. Reconciliation is restoring a relationship. There is a problem, there is a difficulty, and that is removed. But when it comes to our salvation, when it comes to our relationship with God, who is being restored to who? Who takes the initiative? Who restores the relationship? The two parties agree to meet in the middle? Does man say to God, "Well, I'll allow you, God, to restore the relationship"? Or does man say to God, "Well, I'll meet you halfway in the equation"? No, God does all the work. And the real problem that we have and the real problem that we need to grasp as sinners is that God has a problem with us. That we have sinned against him. We have broken that relationship through Adam. We continue to break that relationship before we accept Jesus Christ. We break and continue to break that relationship if we reject Jesus Christ. We are the ones who have offended God. We have sinned against him, not the other way. And that makes, again, God's work even more amazing. When we realize we are the ones who have offended him, it is God who does all the moves to make it right. God comes to us. He restores the relationship. He removes the barrier of sin and brings us to him. While we were enemies, We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. We receive reconciliation with God from God. And Paul reminds us again, as we were reminded this morning, all of that comes through the work of Jesus Christ. And because of this, we can have confidence going into the future. And here Paul builds his argument again. Fact, while we were sinners, God reconciled us through the death of his Son. More sure, much, much more sure, second fact, because of that reconciliation, we will be saved by Christ's life. Because of that, we have eternal security. Paul here is looking towards eternity. And what does he mean here when he says that we are saved in verse 10 by the life of Christ? Does he mean Christ's life on earth? The life that Christ lived, the perfect life that he lived? Not here. No, here he has in view Christ's resurrection life. Christ's life after the grave. The fact that Christ ascended into heaven, that gives us security. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15, where we see this explained for us. 1 Corinthians 15, keep your hands there in Romans. 1 Corinthians 15 at verse 20. In verse 20 we read this. But if in fact Christ has been raised from the dead, verse 20 of chapter 15, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Then at this coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. Our eternal future is secure because of Christ's eternal life. Brothers and sisters, we need that encouragement this afternoon. We need this in these uncertain times when we're angry, when we're sad, when we're frustrated, when we're hurt, when we're struggling. We need to point each other to the sure hope that we have, each of us, and the fact that we are justified by Christ's blood. That means that we no longer will face the wrath of God, that we will face, in a good way, eternal life with God. What has defined you this week? What has defined the week that you've had this week? Is it vaccination or not vaccination? Is it COVID-19? Is it mandates? Is it your failings as a sinner? Can I encourage you this afternoon to have an eternal perspective with regard to your life right here and now? Since Christ has paid for your sins, since God has loved you even when you were still a sinner, how much more can you be sure that no matter what happens, no matter what you face, your future is secured in him? God takes the initiative. It is God that reaches out to us. It is all him and not us. And for that, brothers and sisters, we can be eternally grateful. Presbytery approved a new song the other weekend that points to some of these wonderful truths. And I want to read that to conclude this afternoon. My worth is not in what I own, not in the strength of flesh and bone, but in the costly wounds of love at the cross. My worth is not in skill or name, in win or lose, in pride or shame, but in the blood of Christ that flowed at the cross. Like summer flowers, we fade and die. Fame, youth, and beauty hurry by. But life eternal calls to us at the cross. I will not boast in wealth or might or human wisdom's fleeting light. But I will boast in knowing Christ at the cross. Two wonders here I confess, my worth and my unworthiness. My value fixed by my ransom paid at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him, no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone. Amen. Let's pray. remind us, Father, this afternoon of who we are because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Remind us that because of Christ's blood shed on the cross, we are justified. No worry, we need not fear your anger. Only embrace your love to us. We need not worry about our eternal future, because Christ's blood, because of your work of reconciliation, we are eternally secure. We need not doubt that. Father, we know this. We know this truth. In many ways, nothing that we've heard this afternoon is anything earth-shattering or new. But we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded as we go to work tomorrow and all the problems at work are stacking up, as we read the news and see what is happening as COVID slowly makes its way down the country, as we come face to face with fear and people who we talk to, and Lord, that fear affects us as well, as we are anxious, as we are worried, as we are bitter, as we are angry. Bring us back to the cross, we pray. Bring us back to the sure promise of Jesus Christ who died for us. Lift up our eyes and our hearts to heaven, we pray. Help us to remind each other of that truth as well, Heavenly Father. We need that encouragement of brothers and sisters in Christ in these times as well. We praise you, our rock and our Redeemer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our hymnals to number 310, Praise the Saviour. Number 310. We're going to sing, first of all, the first three stanzas, but hold your books open after we've sung those first three stanzas, because we're going to be blessed and then we'll sing stanza four. So let's stand and sing number 310.
The Saviour now and ever, praise Him all beneath the skies. Prostrate, lying, suffering, dying, on the cross a sacrifice. Victory gaining, life obtaining, now in glory He doth rise. Work faileth, Christ availeth, He is all our righteousness. Your Savior is